Amen. Well, we want to kind of pick up where we left off the last time. And one of the things, not all, but one of the things we will be talking about is the price that some of the martyrs have paid.
Isa sa mga butang na isgutan dito, bahin ng mga presyo na gibayaran sa mga martir kapag nagpakamatay para sa ilang pagtuo.
Amen.
Amen.
And so, let me start off just kind of a little review here.
Magsugod siya o pagbalik sa mga Diyot sa mga kapsika.
I'm going to put Egypt way down in the corner here.
Iyahang ibutang ang
So, we have Alexandria, Egypt. And appropriately, it is down. And we have, of course, this is the end of the Mediterranean. Of course, over here we have Jerusalem. And up here somewhere we have Antioch. And a stream of corrupted Bibles, we'll make this in black, begin to come out of Egypt.
Sa atong mga panahon na nagsugod na ang pagkausab sa paghubad sa mga Biblia nadto padulong sa Egypto.
But the true preserved words began to come out from Antioch.
Apan ang matuod na pagpreserba sa pulong sa Dios na gagikan ni Dapita sa Antioch.
Long preserved. The devil hates the true word of God. He hated it 2,000 years ago. And he hates it today. Amen. Now, over here on the on the other end of the Mediterranean, here we have Greece, and here we have Italy.
Italia.
How does Italy look? It's some kind of a shoe here. Okay. And in the northern part of Italy, you have the mountains, Alps. High, high mountains. Of course, you know your geography already. I'm just reviewing for you. And over in this area here, we have France. And down in this little area here, you have Spain. And of course, this is Rome. And you don't need to probably know, but over here is Switzerland. And up here is Germany. Just making abbreviations. Okay, now there was a people of God living in these mountains. I'm just going to give you one example. They persecuted everybody.
Okay.
But I don't have time to tell you about every martyr. I have a book at home. It's a book about this thick. It's called Martyr's Mirror. Mirror, like you look in the mirror. Okay. And it was written by a Dutch man. maybe 400 years ago. And he collected the records of every martyr that he could gather. Court records of how they were tried in their courts, testimonies. Testimonies of how when they were going to be burned at the stake. Even the priest would come up to a widow with his wooden cross. This is your God. Kiss your God and we will save you from the fire. Yes, they did. Burn them alive. Terrible things they did to them. Drown them. You people want baptism, we'll baptize you. Terrible things they did. There is record that they cut the tongues out of people that would, because they wanted to stop them from preaching the Word of God. I don't want to make you scared. I'm just telling you that this is what this harlot church did to the true believers of God. She has yet the same spirit, and if she could get away with it, she would do it again today. Amen. Okay, so there was a people that lived in these mountains. In these mountains. And they were very high mountains. Amen. And they were called, they have several names. They were called Vaudois, Vaudois. Vaudois. It's in another language, you don't understand what it means. Probably 1,000 years later, they were called Walensians. They were named after a man named Peter Waldo, who became one of their leaders. Waldians.
Waldians. Uman sa usa ka datus ka tuig, gitawag sila mga Waldians na ikuha gikan sa ngalan nga si Peter Waldians.
Okay, so I think it was about the year 154, in other words, in the second century, no, 157. By the year 157. So I'm telling you, brethren, the word of the gospel did not just stay over here. These apostles went everywhere. You know, was it Thomas went to India? History, and I have read at least three or four different confirmations. Joseph of Arimathea went to England, what is now called England. And a group of believers with him and started the work of God. right after the death of Christ, they went as far way up into England, Ireland, Scotland, up into those areas. But let me focus on these people in particular. And by the way, the English people were horribly persecuted. The Vikings from Denmark came plundering, killing, destroying their Bibles, trying to destroy their faith in Jesus Christ. But let us focus on what Rome did to these believers. These believers, about this year, we know, they probably had it before, but there's evidence that at least by this time, they had a Bible called the Old Latin Vulgate.
Kining mga tawhana, sulod lang ko ining mga tuiga, nakabaton sila Biblia na gitawag karaang Latin. Vulgate.
Vulgate. Yeah. Now, you know the meaning of the word old. You know the meaning of Latin. Okay. And Latin and Greek, of course, were two very popular languages in those days.
Ang Latin o ang Griego, pulong na nahimong komon kaayo sa ilang panahon.
Everything up in the northern part here was Greek.
Sagara ani mga dapita ang ilang pinulungan Griego.
The most common language from Rome and down into the northern Africa was Latin.
Oh, ang kasagara kayo pinulungan ni gigamit gikan sa Roma hangtod sa Latin America.
So these people, being part of Italy, were Latin-speaking people. And the word Vulgate means common, everyday, average, normal people. The word vulgar comes, it's the root of the word vulgar. Okay? And so they had, we don't know how they got it. They either sent people over here to Antioch, or they sent their men, and their men translated it and brought the word back. And for 1,000 years, at least, more than 1,000, they had this old Latin Vulgate, which, as far as we know, was a very pure word of God.
Wala na pumasay na dun sa paagi na nakaabot ang pulong. Doon na may mga tao ngayon ipadala padulong aning gapita. Pero ang punto mo, na ang maong matang sa pagkasulat, gitawag ang publikid kayo ng pagkahubad sa pulong sa Diyos.
Well, along came Rome, and they wanted to have their own Latin Bible.
Pero pag-abot sa Roma, gusto nilang makapatong sa ilang paggalingong Latin na Biblia.
So, 382, by now they had a pope in Rome. He wasn't just the bishop, he was the pope.
382 katuig na abot, nakapatong sila ang ilang itawag ang obispo.
He had the same title that Constantine took upon himself, the ruler of all the pagans.
Susama sa mga titulo na angkon ni Constantine na mo'y nagdumala sa tibuok ng mga pagano kanang wala nito o Ginoo.
So he asked a monk named Jerome. I think I can erase this over here now. What's funny about Jerome?
Because we have a young man here named Jerome.
Oh, you have a young man here named Jerome. Well, we'll believe that your name comes from Jeremiah.
Yes.
So,
he sent Jerome, gave him the job to make a new Latin Bible.
Di padala niya si Jerome aruhin mo bagong Latin na pinulungan sa Biblia.
And I'll put the word Vulgate
because they wanted it called the Vulgate.
Gusto niya ng tawag na batang pagkatawag na pulong.
So where do you think Jerome went to find the text to make a new Bible? Did he go to Antioch or did he go to Egypt?
Asa kahagikan nagbuha si Jerome karon pagkakuha ato maong pagkahubad sa Biblia dito baka sa Antioch or dito sa Egypt? Asa kaha?
Now he could have gone to these people here and get their Latin Bible, which was correctly translated, but no, Jerome went over here and he got Origen. Remember Origen?
Origin.
He went and got Origen's Septuagint. And he began to use this to make a new Latin Vulgate. And he had it finished by about the year 400. And of course the Pope believed now that this is going to be the universal Bible. So these people that lived in these Piedmont Valley areas, they saw Jerome's new Bible and they read it and they said, something's wrong with this Bible. You see, because these people now have probably 300 years of experience with the true Word of God. Their children have been raised by it, their grandchildren, they've been preaching the Word, they're sending people out preaching this Word to other places.
Mismo gikan sa ilang asa dapat asa nila pahimutan na makita sila pag-ayo ganyan ilang mismo mga anak na tudloan nila pag-ayo ngayon sa tuntigid na pagkahubad sa Biblia.
And they would not accept
Jerome.
That Bible.
Ilang gidumilian ang maong dala ni Jerome.
And that did not make the Pope, the Bishop of Rome, very happy.
So po kayo pagbuang kilang aso ang ilong.
Now, let me just talk about another a Bible translator here. By the name of Augustine. Have you ever heard of Saint Augustine?
Have
you ever heard that name? By the way, these guys are saints in the Catholic Church. So Augustine is going to make another Bible. He was a Roman Catholic, of course. And as a young man, he was, shall we say, very sexually lustful.
Oh.
he had a bad reputation, and you know what? He never overcame it. And guess where Augustine came from? Right down here in Africa. Amen. Algeria. Actually, it's called Algeria now. It's over on this side of the Mediterranean. Okay? So you see, this religion spread all the way across North Africa. Now, he never translated a Bible. He could not read or understand Greek, which means that he could not read what Paul and the apostles actually wrote in Greek. He could not read it. So he took Jerome's Latin Bible, and he began to make doctrines for the Catholic Church. Now, one of the funny things he believed, I shouldn't tell you about the false doctrines, but I'll just tell you how this false doctrine, a false Bible, corrupts the church for thousands of years. I'll give you the word, but you're not going to remember it. It's called the Manichaean dualistic doctrine, that flesh is evil and spirit is good. It's okay. Just flesh is bad and. Now, by the way, I believe that God expects me to overcome in my flesh as well as by the Spirit. In other words, I can't go live a sinful life in my flesh and then come to God and say, "Oh, but my spirit loves you." So that means during the week, I'm a drunkard, I'm committing adultery. Then I come to God on Sunday. Now, do you see how this doctrine came into the Roman Catholic Church? So the Catholic man can live in sin with his flesh. Then he comes to the priest and he does his penance and says Hail Marys and whatever. And then he's a good man now. So this Augustine, now they consider this man to be one of their best theologians. Let me tell you, now see, he lived at the same time as Jerome. He lived in the same period of time. Here's what he believes. No salvation outside of the Roman Church. Salvation through the sacraments.
In other words, you're saved by taking the wafer. He believed in purgatory? Purgatory? Relics. Do you know what I mean by relics? Oh, these little things that you hang around, you know, the rosary, crucifix, scapulas. They even worship the bones of dead saints. If you had a bone of an old dead saint, it was, you know. He also believed that the church had the right to force people, if they didn't want to submit, that they had the right to force them by pain or death to bring them in to the church. In other words, they were doing what the Muslims believe today. If you leave the Muslim church, they put a death order to kill you. So he's considered the great teacher of the church. Now, let's go back and talk about these people here for a little while. From the time of this Vulgate Bible that Jerome tried to force upon them, probably for the next 700 or 800 years, they were persecuted. The Roman Pope and his henchmen they said that only the priests can interpret the meaning of the Bible. Only the priests are allowed to read the Bible. Only the priests can possess a Bible. And if they find you with a Bible, they will first of all burn your Bible. And if you don't give up, they will burn you. And so for over 500 years, they persecuted these people. Not every year, but little by little they went after them to try to destroy these people who would not give up their belief in the pure Word of God. By the way, most of the Catholic priests did not have a Bible. And some of them could not even read. Not all, some of them. So, let me just give you some. In the year of 1184, I'll just listen to me. The Pope excommunicated these people.
ang nahitabo ang obispo wala naki kaning communicate aning mga tawhana diri.
Kick them out.
Gisalipoy sila.
So when they kick them out, now they're called heretics.
Sa pagsalipoy nila gitawag sila og mga heretics.
And so, if you're a heretic, anybody can kill you. They can take your property, burn your Bible.
Kung gitawag ka ayong mong tawhana, mata sa tao na, isang insang tawhana, pwede mo patay ni mo, awat sa imong mga katigayunan, sa unsa pwede nila buhatod sa imong mga.
In other words, heretics are criminals.
Sa laing pahinan, ginitawag ng mga tao ng heretics, mga daw sama sa kriminal.
Pope Innocent. Doesn't sound very innocent to me.
si Santo Papa, mura siya o inosente daw paminaw.
He made another crusade against these people to force them to submit to Rome.
Nandimo siya o asamasa, aning mga huliga, aron usubitar ang mga magtutuo, mga testimonyo na aning kapita, usubitar sa ipatigayon na kanang mga pamalaod nun sa Roma.
Now it's the Duchess of Savoy who is sending her troops down here to destroy these people. In other words, you can live if you will join the Roman Catholic Church and give up your Bibles.
Dalaing pagkasulti, mabuhi ka kung imong sundon, mapailawon ka sa umanong katoliko, mga tinuhuan, o imong buhian ang imong
pinuhuan. Allow your children to be baptized by the priests.
Tugtan na imong mga anak na mabuhiagan sa mga pari. Mabismuhan.
Now the Pope. The Pope now attacks their villages. And let's see. I think I have the right time. You don't need to remember these dates here. Now, some Duke of France sends, he's going in and he's going to totally annihilate these people. I mean, he sent his troops, you know the word massacre? He's decided that he cannot win, so he sends the troops in and says, kill every one of them. Burn their houses, kill their cows.
Aning tuigan ang duke nagpadala og mga hugtong sa mga tao nga ni massacre sa mga tisuhanon gikan na nindapita. Pamakyon ang tanan nilang mga kahayupan, pakyon ang pinag nilang mga anak.
It was so bad that the word of what they were doing spread all the way up to England.
Nga ang resulta has kami ara kayo ang tanan nilang gibuhat na pakailap kinihangtod sa dapit sa England.
Now remember, at this time, these people were fighting back. Maybe they were wrong. I won't judge them. But they were fighting back, and you know what? These troops were having a hard time killing them because these people knew the mountains. And they were not going to be slaughtered this time.
Ani mo mga panahon na po katong tropa sa duke ang gipadala, naglisod gyud og patay nila kay mga banggitan ko mga kanang word na tagabukid. Kabalo sila as sila kanong.
And it got so bad that the man who was, he wasn't really king, but he was serving as king of England, Oliver Cromwell, he said to France, if you don't stop what you're doing, we're going to declare war on you, and I'm going to send my armies down there against France, until you leave these people alone. At one time, these poor people had, they numbered 20,000 people. When this thing, the Duke of Savoy, got finished with them, there were only known to be about 400 of them. You tell me that it was just a couple people, like the Pope said, oh, just a few. We're sorry. No. France had no other interest. They were not threatening the sovereignty of France. All they were threatening was the Roman Catholicism of France and some of these places. They would not submit to Roman Catholicism.
Sa ilang gituhoan diha sa Dios o wala sila ni dawat sa tinuhoan ni gitanyag sa Romano Katoliko.
Well, eventually a peace was declared and they eventually left these people alone.
Salamat sa Dios nga nakahamutang ang kalinaw o katong mga pahana na nagdalag kagubot gibiya rabon ani mga dapita.
They had to flee into the higher mountains, live in caves. I'm talking about in the winter time, in the snow. You don't know what it's like to live in the snow. Okay, now let's talk about the English Bible, okay? I'll leave that there. How did we come to have what I have given you and what you have received without me of the King James Bible?
Unsang paagi nga nakaangkon sa ini nga maong pagkaubad inagikan sa gitawag og King James Version.
By the way, there are other good Bibles.
Okay.
Other nations, I don't know the history of them all. I can only follow one at a time. There was a man by the name of John Wycliffe. Have you ever heard of Wycliffe? You've heard of the Wycliffe translators? They took their name after this man. 1330s through 1384, somewhere around there. So this is the 14th century now, okay? And by the way, all of these great men that did these great things, they started off, they were Catholic priests. If any man had a desire for God in these dark ages, the only place you could go was to the Catholic Church. They didn't know where else to go.
O ato mga panahon na kung naitinguha mo sa katao na paluon sa Dios ang ilang naon na yun hindi lagi makapagansulog sa tinuhuan sa Romano Katoliko.
So, Wycliffe was a man who desired the truth.
Si Wycliffe sa katao na nangandudud sa kamatuoran.
And he began at this time. Almost all of these old Latin Vulgates that were hidden down here in these mountains, almost all of those Bibles were destroyed.
Halos ta lang Biblia nga katong gikan sa yung Latin Vulgate atong panahuna nga wala gyud nga wagtang.
But he got a hold of one.
Paduna siya'y naangkon nga isa.
And he said that he was going to begin to make an English translation of the New Testament. And this is before the days of printing press. So he had to copy and translate by hand. In other words, he took this old Latin now, and he's going to make it into English. So let me say Latin
to English.
Okay, Latin to English, and he was not just content to be translating, but he had a bunch of young men that followed with him, sort of like your Bible school here, brother.
Si John, wala lang siya natagbaw sa at po kaagi sa pagkahubad, pero yun ay mga tao ngayon iduulan.
And these young men that came and studied with him, he sent them out everywhere to start preaching the true word of God. Because you see, nobody knew the true word of God. All they knew was what these priests were telling them. So these men that he sent out were called Lollards. That was kind of a derogative term. What it meant is they're out there babblers, babbling away. But they were preaching the true word of God. So one of the things that Wycliffe believed, he believed that he didn't believe that the priests would change this little wafer into the real body of Christ. He believed that Christ, Jesus Christ, was the head of the true church, not the Pope. And the Pope did not like him. However, there was a problem down in Rome. The problem was, for 40 years, there were two popes. The popes were at war with each other. So while the popes were fighting each other, they didn't have time to persecute the true Christians. Actually, there was a time when there were three popes. But you don't need to know about that. Three, yeah, one time. Four, Bert says four at one time, yeah. So Rome had a lot of wars within their own ranks. Anyway, the time came when Brother Wycliffe died. He died of natural causes. And after his death, the one of the popes apparently won the war. And they said, now let's go after the damage that this Wycliffe has done to us. Well, Brother Wycliffe was already dead and buried. But that didn't stop him. They sent the priest, dig him up. Dig up his skeleton, dig up his bones. Brought his bones up. John Wycliffe, we are trying you for heresy. Will you repent? Well, of course, he wasn't going to repent. So, he said, okay, your penalty is we're going to burn you. So they burned his bones and poured the ashes in the River Swift. Now, by the way, about this same time, there was another man in Germany, and by the way, he's not a righteous man, he's not a religious man. Well, he was somewhat religious. I'll just put his name up here. Do you ever hear that name? Gutenberg? What did Gutenberg do? Gutenberg, a man in Germany, invented the printing press. Let me see, we'll say 1450 here. Okay. Now, he had a good thing going, and he actually took a contract to do some printing jobs for the Catholic Church. So he was going to print 200 Catholic Vulgate Bibles for the Pope. I don't know whether he ever got them all printed or not, but he was busy printing indulgence letters. Do you know what indulgence letters are? You see, the Pope needed a lot of money to build a new basilica, or whatever you call that great big cathedral thing they've got down there. And so they put out the word to all the priests that if anybody wants to be forgiven of their sins, give them a little note that says if they pay so much money, you are hereby forgiven of your sin, and we will shorten your time in purgatory by 20 years. Here you go. So this fellow could go home with this little paper and he could say, look here, I can sin. I got forgiven of all my sins. I don't have to go to hell after all. But honey, what did you have to pay for that? Well, I had to give the priest our allowance, you know. So this is what Gutenberg was printing. He would print these things, you know. However, among some of these wars that were going on, one of these... he was living in Mainz, Germany at the time, and the troops started coming in to invade Germany. And the guys that worked in his printing shop, he made them swear they would never tell what his secrets were. So the workers took all the pieces of the printing press and they fled. And they started making more printing presses. Now the secret is out. See, like the first man that made the computer, he couldn't keep it secret. Now it's out. So we come to another man named Erasmus. How do you spell? E-R-A-S-M-U-S. And I'll put the dates. You don't need to remember these numbers, but 1536. By the way, I'm going to leave you with a few more copies when I leave, and if you want it on the digital form, I'll send you the digital also. You can print your own, okay? Now, Erasmus is another man that became a priest. His parents, by the way, were also in kind of a printing business, document copying, you know, like for lawyers, you know, and they made those kind of things. And his parents did quite well in that business. But they died young, and he was sent into the priesthood. The priest came and took over his life, and so when they sent him to be a priest, of course, they confiscated all his father's wealth and home and everything. Now, Erasmus hated the popery business. He hated it.
Erasmus,
but he was coerced and forced into becoming a priest. But it was, you see how God used this man. He was a brilliant man. Amen. And so he decided he did not want to function as a priest. So he told the Catholics hierarchy, he said, I want to get a doctorate degree in theology. So now he could go into all their secret libraries where all these old documents were stored. Paris, Rome, especially Rome, where all these documents were stored. And nobody would bother him. Oh, I'm just working on my doctorate degree here. Just studying. You know, somebody come in. Erasmus, what are you doing in the secret library? Oh, just studying, just studying. So he was able to compare all these Bible manuscripts, old Latin, everything. And when he finally finished, of course he had to move out of there and go up into northern Europe to do what he was going to do. And he translated into Greek now what we call the Textus Receptus. Now, to translate that word, it means the received text. This document, probably the most important document in the history of our Bible ever. God used this man to be a spy in the libraries of the Vatican to collect all. You see, these manuscripts that the apostles had written, they weren't all put together in one nice, neat Bible. Some of these little manuscripts were scattered. You know, the Epistle of Corinthians over here, the Epistle of Philippians, you know, Mark, Luke, you know. Sometimes they were put together, but sometimes they weren't. And there were many manuscripts that might have had a little bit of something different in them.
Ang paagi nagigamit si Erasmus sa Diyos mga ang kining mismo siya ang nakatuki ug siya pud ang naka-observar sa mga kalainan ug siya pud mismo gani ang nagpakipok pagbalik sa mga sinulat mismo gikan sa Biblia.
He might have gone over, I don't know, might have been 100 of these old Greek and Latin manuscripts. Oh, this word is different. Wait a minute. Okay. 10 of the others say it. Okay, this one left it out. I'm sorry. We'll take the 10. Okay. Carefully. Put it all together. Every word. Be very careful to every word. You see, this Greek Textus Receptus, look at the date. 1500.
70 years.
Yeah, well, this is his life.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he was 70. But this text is hated now by the men who are really the fathers. They lived in the 1800s, Westcott and Hort. Two men who went down to the Catholic Latin Vulgate and they said, we're going to make our own Greek text.
Dinay duha ka tawo nga ni Baruk pod tindog pod nga iniyon sila nga muhubad ta sa atong kaugaling hinungdan sa Griego.
One of these men, they asked him what he thinks of the Textus. He said it's vile and villainous. He hated it. Hated the purity of this word of God. Amen. So he finished his New Testament. I'll give you the date, 1516. And of course, he was not favored very much among the Catholic Church either. And by the way, it is probably the work that this man did now to put this, practically every, most of the priests, let's say, not only studied Latin, but they studied Greek as well. So you can see, 1516, we're ready for a revolution in Europe. Would you recognize the name Martin Luther? Yeah? Luther? What year did Martin Luther nail the 95 Theses to the Wittenberg church door? 1517. Isn't that interesting? 1 year after this man finished his Greek New Testament, Martin Luther gets a hold of that thing, reads it, and the priests are going around with their little box, jingling coins, and they have a little rhyme that they go, let's see, the angels hear the coins drop and the keys of purgatory are unlocked. Luther was a Roman Catholic priest too. And he was furious. He was furious at what was going on. So in 1534, oh, I should put that in blue. He made a German Bible. Okay? Now, that's just a little side thing because you need to know where Luther fits into all this. Okay? About this same time, you've ever heard of the name Tyndale? William Tyndale? Do you understand now how some of these false doctrines came into the Roman Catholic Church? The devil planted the seeds of those things way back here. But it wasn't just Origen. I could name you some other names, but you don't need to know them now. The devil planted the seed. As soon as he got a hold of the written word, he found men of corrupt mind who would corrupt the word of God.
Mm.
Now, this man lived at the same time as Erasmus. Yes. He was a contemporary of these people. Luther, he lived in the same time. And he wanted to make an English Bible. Okay?
English.
So you see, I'm not saying it was the first English Bible. There were English Bibles in England. Most of them by now had been destroyed. The Vikings did a terrible thing on their Bibles, destroyed their Bibles, tried to destroy their faith. But so here we have a Latin to English, okay? This was Wycliffe. Latin to English. But you see, we really should have gone back to the Greek to make the best English. Because the Latin came from... In other words, you're going through two languages. Go back to the original tongue and make your Bible from there. So, Latin, Greek, German, and now English. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So Tyndale, I'll give you the date, 1526. You see, it was just this is the Reformation now that's going on right here. This is Reformation. And Tyndale was a man that discovered that these priests didn't know anything about the Word of God. And one of these priests challenged him one day about what was in the Bible, and he said to this priest, he said, I will put the Bible in the language of the people such that the boy, that the plowboy, will know more of the Word of God than you do, sir. So the Catholic Church put him on the 10 most wanted list. And another one of their saints, Sir Thomas More, put a contract out on him, and he got one of his best friends to betray him. They put him in chains in prison. 16 months. And then he was executed, burned at the stake. Martyr's blood stains each page. When they brought him to the stake, he did not tremble with fear, but he stood before they lit the fire, and he said, I pray that the eyes of the King of England will be opened, and that he will allow the printing of the Word of God in England. I think he was actually basically printing these Bibles, and they were secretly shipping them over to England. You know, they would take them over in a little boat or something, rowing the boat, you know, and smuggle them in, and they put them for sale. And guess who was buying them all? The priests. They bought them all up. so they could burn them. They bought them so they could burn them. But he was making a good profit, so he could keep printing more. Then there was a man, Coverdale. And he essentially printed more, almost of the same. He did a few little changes in them. And he had the blessing of Henry VIII. Henry VIII. You know Henry VIII? The King of England. Henry VIII. How many wives did Henry VIII have? Were there seven or eight? Henry VIII. Seven wives? How many? Five, six, seven. Yeah, Henry VIII had seven wives. Henry VIII liked collecting wives. he was kind of a carnal fella, you might say. He was fat, you know, and he wanted the Pope to keep giving him divorces. And the Pope wouldn't give him any more divorces. So he said, "All right, I am the chief of the Church of England, and I will not obey the Pope. And if I want to print Bibles, I will print Bibles." No, that's not King James. That's Henry VIII, a carnal man. But anyway, the Bibles began to spread, and the plowboys were reading the Bibles. The boys that were out in the field plowing the fields. Now see, if I were making the dynamic translation, I would say the boys that are out planting the rice. But that's not what it said. Amen. You know what I mean. People out in the fields planting rice. Just common laboring people. Well, anyway, the Catholic Church did not like what was going on, so they began to organize what they called a counter-revolution. A counter-reformation, I should say. Have you ever heard of the Jesuits? The Catholic Jesuit priests? This is where it started. The man Ignatius Loyola came to the Pope and he said, "Look, I want to make an army of special priests, like what do they call it, Navy SEALs or some special forces, and we are going to go against these Protestants and their Bibles and their people, and we will kill them and we will destroy." So this is where their Inquisition really took off. I mean, they'd been doing it all along for hundreds of years, but now they made a Council of Trent and they said, "Now we are officially going to start killing the Protestants and the Anabaptists and the people that believe the true word of God, that will not submit to Rome. We're going to start killing them with all our might." You know what? I believe they killed far more people than Hitler and Stalin and Mao and all these people combined. So, now, about the time that Tyndale died, about that same time, Soon after, that was Henry VIII, and there came a king of England named James. King James. You should find his name on the inside cover of your Bible. He came to the throne
1604.
I don't know much about him as a person, but everything I have read, I believe that he was a man of great integrity.
Wala din kayo siya kaila, kaayo, nilingmang tahanan, pero ito siya, nilingmang si King James tawa, yung may integridad.
Now, at this time in England, you had people called the Puritans.
Aling panahon, ano yung mga tawa dito, Puritans.
And the Puritans wanted purity of following the Word of God.
Kinimang tahanan, wala lang nilang tuyo, hindi mo nga, huwag magkapunti sa pagsunod sa pulong sa Diyos.
You also had the Church of England, which was very much like the Catholic Church. So the Puritans came to King James and they said, Your Honor the King, we would like a request that you will allow a new Bible to be printed in the English language.
Kining mao mga Puritans ni ani-adto sila sa hari o nag-istorya sila ni hanyo sila natugutan sila nga muprinta o maong pagkahubad sa pinulungan ngadto sa English nga pagkasaysay.
So in this year he ordered the beginning of the translation of the King James Bible.
So nag-an tuiga ni hatag siya o kasuguan nga musugod og printa sa maong pagkahubad sa English nga pagkasulti.
He set three companies of scholars in three different places, so they could not talk to one another. Oxford, Cambridge, and Westminster. Cambridge and Westminster. Big university places in England. And these men were, for the most part, men of great integrity. Now, I have reason to believe that there was still some church thinking, some Church of England thinking in some of these men, because some of the words they put in are very much church words. But they relied most strongly on this Bible that Erasmus had done, Textus Receptus. Now basically what they were doing is doing the final correction. Erasmus really wanted somebody to go over of scholarly order of person to go over his work, examine it, compare it with other manuscripts, make sure that he had done everything the right way.
Ang ilang gibuhat atong mga tawhana na itabo lang sumala sa gitinguha ni Erasmus na dunay mga bagitang mga tawo nga mo finalize kung baga hutan ang pag-usab o mo finalize sa ilang gibuhat na kung magyod ang pagkasaysay nini.
Now, they had this new Latin Vulgate. They had that available too.
Na sila itong Biblia na gidala ni Jerome, new Latin Vulgate.
They didn't get anything out of it. There was nothing good in it. In other words, they couldn't rely on it. It differed from all the other texts. They found errors, they found mistakes, they found where somebody had changed the words that shouldn't be.
Kulang sa iyo kung lahi ang pagkasulti dito na itong
There were a couple of other English Bibles that were not very popular. One was called the Geneva Bible. Another was called the Bishop's Bible. They were pretty good, but this was better. So when all these men in these three places had their work done, they had to pass it around between their own crew and examine things. Then they had to pass it to the other group in the other place and have them examine it. What is it? 1611? Is that the date of the King James Bible? I think it is. So it was finished. Now, while all this was going on, what were the Catholics doing? What were the Jesuits doing? The Jesuits took a whole lot of young people, like your age, who could speak good English, took them down to France. They put some of them in, what was the name of the place? Douai, and some in Reims. The ones working on the New Testament in Reims, 1582, and Douai, France, 1610. So the Catholics decided they were going to make their own English Bible. It's called the Douai Reims. Yeah. And to this day, it's pretty much of a standard accepted Bible by the Catholic Church. Now, the original King James, because they were under strong political pressure, they included these books called the Apocrypha. These book of Maccabees and Izardes. They're not the word. They're just some wild stories, some history of the Jewish people. Not inspired by God. So they put them in the first edition. But after that, they made a new revision and they took them out. Because they don't belong there. Now, I have another page, I'm not going to talk about it here, about some of these where they say, did you ever read in any of these Bibles where they have a little footnote and it says, ancient texts say thus and thus? Oh good, you didn't get a hold of those.
Ancient.
Or according to Westcott and Hort, this word should be thus and thus. Let me tell you, here's a book they called the Vaticanus. It's an old version that they discovered in the Vatican Library in 1481. Now, this is the kind of thing that Westcott and Hort said, oh, these are old texts. The Vaticanus. They call it the Vaticanus. Of course, it came from the Vatican. Genesis 1:1 through Genesis 46:20, gone. It's not in the Bible. Origen did not believe in the creation story. He thought it was a myth. He didn't believe there was a man named Adam. Didn't believe there was a Garden of Eden. So you see, when Darwin came along with evolution, both Westcott and Hort said that they could believe it. Because they didn't believe. What kind of translation are you going to give if you don't believe things like that? It was missing Psalms 106 through 138. It was missing Matthew 16, verse 2 and 3. Let's see what Matthew 16, 2 and 3 is that was missing. Matthew 16, verse 2 and 3. These are the verses that were missing. And he answered and said unto them, When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. That's missing in their text.
Sa diha ng gabi na, kamu mag-ingon. Kini mo maayo ang panahon, kay ang langit pula. O sa pagkabuntag, kini mo maot ang panahon karong adlawa, kay ang langit pula ug nagadag-og. O kamu mga tigpakaroning nun, kamu makaila sa dagway sa langit, apan kamu dili ba makaila sa mga lahanan sa kapanahonan?
Timothy and Titus are both missing. Gone. Isn't that interesting? Timothy and Titus talk a lot about church order, doesn't it? Elders, you know. The last half of Hebrews is missing from chapter 9 right on to the rest. Missing, gone. Book of Revelation, missing. Now here's another one that they've. This was an old verse called Sinaiticus, because it was found on Mount Sinai, a nunnery. It was found in the trash in 1844. This is one of their ancient versions that we should pay attention to. Now, this Bible had the Epistle of Barnabas. Shepherd of Hermes.
Hermes.
Yeah. Another book that doesn't belong in the. And the scholars that studied this said there are. It looked like the job of a school child. It had so many words missing. It had 10, 20, 30, 40 words missing. Carelessness. It said somebody said it looked like it had been worked on by so many people, things crossed out, things written in, and they're calling this a reliable old text. Both of these versions leave out the last 12 verses in the book of Mark.
dusika mga ka dusika bahin sa kasulatan sa libro sa Marcos.
The last 12 verses of Mark is really about the ascension, I guess, of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Oh, it's the resurrection. It's the resurrection. Now, why would you want to leave that out of your Bible? Amen. These are the signs that shall follow them that believe. That's missing. You know? So let me just very briefly, I mentioned these guys named Westcott and Hort. They were scholars, so to speak. But they practiced witchcraft. They were part of, some of them were part of seance organizations. Involved in the occult. So these are the men that made their own Greek to compete with this one here. And the Greek text, I don't need to give you the name, the Greek text that they made relied on these bad texts that I gave you examples of what was missing from them.
Diha nag-agad po ang ilang gihimo to ilang basihanan sumala sa ipanganlan niya ng ipagkuha gikan sa
so Israel. Now when they make these new Bibles, the New American Standard and the American Standard Revised, and the worst one of all is the NIV.
Kini ipanganlan niya ng mga matang sa pagkahubad.
NIV. Worst one of all. But I hear that there's a modern one coming along that is probably worse than this one. If you have the time, I have read four books. Some of them are very thick books. Go through word for word, verse for verse, tell you what they changed, and there is... They have an agenda for what they are changing. The
atong tan-awon ato tong basahon na tinigin niya sa libro niya na kabaga umabasahan nimo makumpara nimo sa kalainan yun sa pag-usap ang mga word o ang mga pulong o iunsa pun ang kanang resulta din humanini.
Their agenda is one world religion.
Ang ilang tuyo mao usa lang ka
one world little G-O-D Lucifer. They call him Lucifer. I don't. Not the name I'm going to use. I call him Satan, the devil, the dragon. But that's their agenda. Little changes. Like in the Bible, where it says the Holy One of Israel, or the God, the only one of Israel, or something, they change that to the One. One. Many, many, many times they substitute the actual name Jesus, and by the way, they want to get rid of the word he. They don't want he anymore. They want neuter gender, so they change it from he to the one. So you're just a poor little innocent soul. You got a hold of one of these Bibles, and they... Little sister brings this NIV to church with her. And by the way, they've made these into Sabano too. Yes, they have.
Yes. Yes, there is.
Yeah, I went to that little bookstore down there in Butuan. And we were looking for Bibles. I mean, I'm as naive as anybody else. I thought, wonder what kind of Bibles they've got here. And I flipped open the front page, and it said something like Living Bible or New NIV or something. In Cebuano? Yeah. And I said, no. This is not the Bible I'm going to find for these precious brethren here. So I'm going to tell you, brethren, keep your King James Bibles. If you ever need a Cebuano version, go to the same man that I found. They're Baptists, Bible Baptists. They'll find you Bibles. I may not be here, we may not be here, but at least I found out where to find them. It took me almost 7 or 8 years to find out where could I mean, I called the Wycliffe Bible translators, and they have been corrupted by a man named Eugene Nilda, who only died a couple years ago. He's the man that taught these translators how to make dynamic equivalent words. Just use a word that's equivalent. You have to use the same word. You know? But I'm telling you, brethren, the blood is going to flow again. The martyr's blood. Because the devil hates what you have. And this is why Fox and the Van Bronck, this is why these men wrote these martyr books. To encourage the saints of God. You go to where is it, chapter 10, I believe in Hebrews, that says these did not count themselves worthy to inherit the full, how is it? Let's get it straight here. Having a good report, did not obtain the promise. Here we are. Let me just read it here. Did not receive the promise. Hebrews 11:39. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. There's that word perfect again. Those last two verses of chapter 11.
Hebrews kapitulo 11 versikulo 39. O kining tanan nga nakabato ug usa ka maayo nga dugo, pinaagi sa pagtuo, wala ra kadawat sa saan. Ang Dios nga nagatagana og pipila ka labing maayo pa nga mga butang, alam ka na to, na sila kon wala kita, dili gayud mahimo nga hintim.
Now, many, many, many martyrs have given their life for this. For this. To have the absolute truth, Word of God. And they did not obtain the final promise, because there is something better for us. We will not leave it unfinished. When I was a young man, like you young men, I did not have a hard time believing what I'm telling you today.
Wala siya niagi og asta-as nga panahon nga naglisod og tuo sa iyang titudlo niya kanato karon.
my ancestors, my natural ancestors, they weren't perfect, but they were people who were martyred, killed, driven about from country to country because of the Word of God. And as a young man, I said within myself, I said, I too will give my life if that's what it takes. God bless you.